There have been many histories written of the Vietnam War and of America's involvement in Vietnam. And yet, ask a question as simple as, when did the Vietnam War start for America? And you'll find yourself with conflicting answers. This past year, in May, President Obama said that 2012 was the 50th anniversary of the start of the Vietnam War. So that makes 1962, right? But the first names that are etched into the long black memorial wall in Washington, D.C., are of two American men who died not in 1962, but in 1959. In his new book, Embers of War, The Fall of an Empire and the Making of America's Vietnam, the historian Frederick Loegwaldt tries to get at the heart of that contradiction. He joins us this morning in studio. Frederick, thanks for being with us.
It's good to be here.
So what's up, to put it quite simply, with that three-year time period? When did America's involvement, when did the Vietnam War start for America?
Well, it is, as you say, a contentious question, and one could make arguments certainly for 1962, as the president did. There was a large increase in American equipment sent to South Vietnam. Large numbers of advisors poured in 1962. So it's a defensible position. But as you also said, the first names on the wall died. Those two gentlemen died in 1959. And as I trace in the book, you have Americans who are deeply involved in Indochina and in the struggle for the future of Vietnam all the way back to 1940 and certainly 1945.
And that's the point of your book. You end with the beginning of the Vietnam War, and what you do before that point is you trace how America got involved, and the way America got involved was because of France. Explain how that happened.
Well, I think it's critically important, and it's one of the things that certainly I think I attempt to do in the book is to show that in order to understand America's war, it's which really began in a serious way in the late 1950s and in the 60s, as we've been saying, it's critically important to understand what went before. The French fought a war there before the Americans. And I was fascinated for a long time in understanding how it is that the United States first came to back what was initially a colonial war. After all, this was the United States born out of an anti-colonial reaction. And yet here the United States was backing the French in this effort. And when the French were defeated, choosing to in effect try to succeed where the French had failed.
Now, this is a really important point. And again, it's one of the big themes in your book. America, this did not seem like America's fight or even like a fight that America would be interested in.
Yeah.
To the point where a young Ho Chi Minh actually expected that the United States would be on his side in this fight.
Yeah.
Why didn't that happen?
Well, this is one of the really tragic elements of the story. It is clear from the record, which is vast, that Ho, as you say, did believe for a very long time, from the 19-teens, and certainly after World War I, when he went to Versailles and tried to see Woodrow Wilson. He even rented a top coat for the occasion to try to see Ho. He believed through the 1940s, and one could say he was a little bit naive to believe it for so long, but he believed through the 1940s that the United States would be his ally. The United States was famously anti-colonial. Franklin Roosevelt had said, we do not want to see the European imperial system continue. We are against these colonial empires. And so Ho believed that the U.S. could be there. And, of course, he was wrong. The United States decided, the Truman administration initially, that it needed to back this French war effort with misgivings, but needed to back it for reasons having to do with European politics, but also in order to try to stop the spread of communism in Asia.
So that's what changed. Ho didn't change necessarily, but from his contacts with Woodrow Wilson so many years before to the early 1960s when he found that the United States wasn't his ally, it was World War II and the intervening struggle against communism that made him so very wrong.
Yeah, I think that the World War II had a transformative effect, and I deal a lot in the book with the effects of World War II, and I think it did have that effect. And of course, the kind of communist-inspired revolutionary nationalism that Ho represented, and he was a communist. It's a very interesting story that I detail how he was, if you will, converted to, or how he became a proponent of communism for the future of his country. That kind of revolutionary nationalism did not work, if you will, for American officials. And in this respect, perhaps it's not surprising that the Truman administration and then later Eisenhower, of course, would stand against him, first in support of the French and then after the French were defeated on their own.
How did America at the time understand France's defeat? Did we think we could do better? Was that part of it? Was it pride?
I think there was. It's a more complicated question than I thought when I began, because I thought that Americans simply ignored the French War, thought that the French War had nothing to teach Americans. We're much more powerful. We have the right motives. After all, we're just trying to liberate a people who have been attacked. But it's clear that in the internal record, it's clear that all the way along there were thoughtful Americans who saw clearly that, in fact, we're heading down the same path, that the problems that the French encountered in a profoundly divided Vietnam, and this is, again, where World War II, I think, is critically important, we're heading down that same path. We're likely to encounter the same kinds of problems that the French encountered, which, of course, turned out to be true. So, you know, one can talk about missed opportunities. One can talk about roads not taken. It's evident that it could have been different.
Did those people that you're describing not have access to Robert S. McNamara, to Westmoreland, to Kissinger, to the architects of the war, or did they have access and were simply ignored?
Well, I think in fact that Robert McNamara himself, because you mentioned McNamara, he himself privately had all the way along doubts about the prospects in Vietnam. He himself, I think, was not actually a true believer on the war. And I've said that if McNamara had served a president who wanted to get out of Vietnam, I think he would have been as forceful an advocate for de-escalation in Vietnam as he turned out to be for escalation. So, yes, I think those critics, those skeptics, on some level at least, did have access to top officials. But the top officials, the decision makers, including later McNamara, chose for other reasons to say that, no, we must stand firm in Vietnam. We can win this thing. It was often more of a hope than a conviction, but they pressed ahead.
You're a student of this time period, and so to have written a book, a very large book, and an extraordinary book, by the way, this is a very quick read for such a big tome.
Thank you.
You've uncovered new documents. You've got new archival material. Tell us a little bit about what you found and how it contributed to this new history of Vietnam.
Well, there's a huge amount of material out there that's been used by some scholars.
Mm-hmm.
Other materials that hasn't really been used. The archival documentation, for example, in France is very rich, and I was really only able to use a portion of it. There's much more there. Unfortunately, in Vietnam itself, we don't have access to top Politburo records and other high-level documentation, and that's something that I hope will change. But in France, in the United States, in Britain, there is a great deal of material. And, of course, I was a kid in a candy store sitting in these archives and seeing the kinds of materials that were available. I also, of course, make great use of the other books that have been written. This is in part a synthesis, and I stand on the shoulders of many others who have written about parts of this story. But what nobody had really done, I thought, until this book, is to give us a kind of sweeping narrative history that goes back to the end of World War I, when the future of European colonial empire seemed secure, that goes through World War II and then the French War, and to that fateful American decision to build up South Vietnam, to support South Vietnam, and then to defend South Vietnam.
Vietnam was obviously a period in American history that it took a long time to recover from, if we ever did.
Yeah.
I wonder, when you were writing this book, did you look to the present day? Did you look at the American misadventures, if you will, in Iraq and Afghanistan, and say, there are parallels here. There are things that could have been done differently if we had used Vietnam as a history book?
Oh, I think there's no question. Historians, even if they deny it, are writing in the context of their own time. We can't help that. And so I'm thinking about, as I'm writing this, very much the misadventures in Iraq, the commitment in Afghanistan. And though history by analogy can be a dangerous exercise, no question that there are important similarities. And some of the problems that we're encountering currently in Afghanistan, I see chilling parallels between that and what first the French saw in Indochina and then the Americans.
Frederick Loegeval is a historian, and he's the author of the new book, Embers of War, The Fall of an Empire and the Making of America's Vietnam. Thank you so much.
Thank you.